Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Erevin, daf Pei Zayin. Picture book would be really helpful today. We'll come back to the picture book later on this morning. Yesterday we covered on Pei Vav a lot of big topics in the Masechta Erevin, specific to Eruv Chatzeres. One first big topic we covered yesterday is what house needs to contribute to the Eruv. So it has to be a residential house. And we spoke yesterday that the Beishar and Achsadra, they're not going to be good. They're not considered residential homes, and therefore, they don't need to contribute to the Erev, plus, they also can't be the host of the Erev. In other words, in order to be both a contributor and a host of the Erev, so you have to be a residential home. We talked yesterday about this idea of Beis Tfisa, that if I have some sort of ownership in somebody else's home, which doesn't actually mean that I own a portion of the home, but just simply means that I keep stuff in their home, stuff that cannot be moved, so then him and I are already connected, we're linked, we're already unified, and therefore I don't have to make an Erev with him, and he doesn't have to make an Erev with me. So that was one big idea which we discussed yesterday. Yeah, the other, second big idea which we discussed yesterday was going away for Shabbos. If I go away for Shabbos and I leave my home uninhabited, so do now I have to contribute to the Erev. Obviously, I'm not here, so by me contributing to the Erev, I'd be doing it al-yidei shliach, I'll be doing it with an agent, but do I need to be a contributor? Or do I at least have to be mevatel reshus? So the Mishnah mentioned yesterday a four-way machlokus, and on that, we go like Rav Yossi, which basically is that we split the decision. If it's a Jew going away for Shabbos, then we know he's not going to come back on Shabbos, so therefore his home is not considered a factor vis-a-vis the Erev. If it's a non-Jew going away for Shabbos, so then likelihood is that he's going to come back, he has no Tchum consideration, and he is going to come back, and therefore we have to view his home as a resided home, even if he went away for Shabbos, which means that we have to rent out his rights. And then the last big topic, which we didn't finish yesterday, which God willing we'll finish today, is going to be the topic of a chatzer with a bore, with a pit in between the two chatzeros, and what would allow each chatzer to go and to draw water from their side of the pit. This was a discussion yesterday. It turned into a machlokes between Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel. Now, in the Mishnah, Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel were not particularly clear about what exactly they meant in terms of the walls going through. So good. I'm looking at the picture book. If you're not, that's fine. But just cite which picture I'm looking at right now. So first of all, what about the wall going over the top of the pit? Right? So according to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, so that's nothing. On page 97, picture number 291. So what about the wall going over the top of the pit? So that according to the Tanakhama, that's nothing. Meaning, that's just a wall separating the two chatzeres. We need a wall separating the actual pit itself and dividing, partitioning the waters between one side and the other side. So that turned into a machlokes between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai. Beis Hillel's mekel, Beit Shammai's machmir. Okay, that much we know. Beis Hillel just has to have the wall in the pit, but not necessarily in the water. And Beit Shammai says, no, it's got to be actually mamish in the water itself. Okay. The question is, where exactly are these walls situated for both Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai? So if you remember yesterday, we had a machlokes amarayim in terms of how to understand the machlokes tanayim. We had a machlokes yesterday between Rav Huna and Rav Yehuda. Rav Huna had Beis Hillel, I'm on picture number 292. Beis Hillel just simply has the wall in the pit. Doesn't have to be touching the water. Doesn't have to be even near the water. Just has to be simply in the pit. A wall of 10 tefachim actually in the pit itself. And Beit Shammai says, no, it has to be proximate to the water. It has to be in contact with the water. Not actually in the water, but simply in contact with the water. That is the opinion, that's a machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai. Still hard to understand, meaning according to Beit Hillel. Oh, whatever. I'll come back to that point maybe later. Maybe. Then we had another opinion, which is Rabbi Huda's opinion, which is no, that the machlok between Beit Hillel and Beit Shammai is that we're actually going to shift it down. Beit Shammai has to have the wall in the water, separating the two, and Beit Hillel says, no, it's got to be proximate to the water. The way to think about it, right, if you have a good visual of this, fine, the pictures are really helpful. If you just want a way to think about it, according to Rav Huna, Beit Shammai is basically the same as Beit Hillel according to Rav Yehuda. If that helped you, great. If that didn't help you, again, the pictures really spell it out. And then the Gemara yesterday, we went over one last point yesterday, Or that, well, what's the difference? Meaning, isn't there still communications of the two bodies of water? Meaning, the two bodies of water are still contacting with one another and still communicating with one another. So what difference does it make whether the wall is above or just below or submerged in the water? What difference does it make? So the Gemara says that even according to Beis Hillel, who doesn't have to have the wall in the water, but at least one tefach into the water, it still creates only a symbolic separation between the waters. Now, an actual separation of the waters, okay. That is all what we discussed over the course of yesterday, and that was by way of review. We're on Pevav and Medvez. We're at the two dots now. Amar of Yehuda, Lotei Mechitza. And now we're going to focus today on the Shita of Rav Yehuda. And Rav Yehuda's position is very simple. Why are we having a discussion of the wall in the pit? Beis Hillel, Beis Shammai, Rav Huna, Rav Yehuda. Okay, multitude of positions. But when all said and done, it's seemingly, according to the Tanna Kamma, there has to be a wall in the pit. So Rav Yehuda says, I don't understand. You have a pit separated, you have a pit in between two mechitzas. The mechitzas are separated by a wall. That by definition means there's got to be a mechitza running along the top of the pit. So I don't understand. If you have a mechitza running over the top of the pit, can't we say that the mechitza drops down into the pit, separating the pit? So Rav Yehuda says, that's his position. That the mechitza just simply drops down and separates the two. I don't need a wall in the pit. Ad kan shitas Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda obviously is based on what principle, what wall principle that we've been discussing already time and again? The principle of good achis. That walls go down. Walls drop down to the ground. Okay? That's the position of Rav Yehuda. So the Gemara says... No. In other words, good achis. As long as the wall itself is 10 tefachim, the wall just continuously goes down. This is a concept of good achis. Lover is only with something within three tefachim is connected. Right. But over here, no connection. Meaning the walls just continuously drop down. So the Gemara says, Amar Rav Yehuda lotei mechitzas, Amar Rav Avrachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, Rav Yehuda b'shitas, Rav Yosi Amra. So, I'm going to line up, not me, but Rabba Bar Rav Huna, I'm going to line up two Tanaim, who I think basically are based on the same shita. Same principle. Rav Yehuda and Rav Yosi. The Amar Mechitza Tulei Materes, Afil B'Yabasha, did none. Because look, we have this position of Rav Yosi, which is that it's Mechitza Tuluya, hanging wall again. As long as I have 10 tefach of actual wall, so then the wall continuously drops, and it's not just limited to water, it would also be true by Yabasha. By dry land, did not amishal shel defanos melamal lamata bezman shegavah minaris kemal tefachim psula mimata lamalam im gavos yotefachim kshera. So we are talking here about a sukkah, and we're talking about the walls of a sukkah. Now the walls of a sukkah is very simple. The walls have to be 10 tefach. The walls have to go all the way up to the schach. No, they do not. As long as the walls are 10 tefach high, so then what basically we say is good asik. Which is the opposite, meaning that means that the walls go up. And the walls continuously go up all the way to the schach. They have to run parallel to the schach, meaning that when I run my imaginary line from the wall going straight up, it's got to hit the schach, but the actual wall itself doesn't need to hit the schach. So the position of the Tanna Kamma is that we're going to say good asik, but according to the Tanna Kamma, we're not going the other way. Meaning that if the walls are hanging in the air, right, they're held up by poles, by beams, whatever, however they're hanging. If the walls are hanging in the air, the walls don't go down. I'm going to read that again in the position of the Tanna Kamma. Dinan Mishnah here in Sukkah. All right, first parak of Sukkah. Hamishal shel defanos milamala mata. If I let the walls hang milamala from the top to the bottom, bizman shekavos min haaretz kemal tefachim psula. If there's a three tefach space between the bottom of the wall and the ground, so then it's no good. So we just got done saying, three tefach means that there's no lavud. It has to be under three tefach in order for there to be lavud. Mimata lamala, but if I have the walls go from the ground to the top, im gavol yitfach mukshir, as long as the walls are 10 tefach high, so then they're good, even though there could be a humongous airspace between the top of the wall and the schach. Rabbi Yossi omer, kashem shel malamata lamala asara, kach malamala lamata asara. And Rabbi Yossi says, no, we'll go either way. We'll say good asik, going up, and we'll say good achis, going down. So you see, Rav Yosi holds the suspended walls are fine walls, because he holds this principle of good achis. Now let's do it. Let's align the two shitas. We have the shita of Rav Yosi regarding sukkah, and we have the shita of Rav Yehuda here in Erevin, 8th parak of Erevin, that says that as long as they have a wall running over the pit, so the wall is going to come down, drop into the pit, separate the two bodies of water, separate the one body of water into two. So the Gemara says, Velohi. Now, really, truth be told, is that it's a very nice comparison, but it doesn't work. The comparison simply does not work. Velohi. Lo Rabbi Yehuda, Savalaka Rabbi Yosef, Velo Rabbi Yosef, Savalaka Rabbi Yehuda. Doesn't work. Rabbi Yehuda, Lo Savalaka Rabbi Yosef, Yadkan, Lo Kam Rabbi Yehuda, Ala Beiru, Vechatzeres, Durabanan. Look, Rabbi Yehuda says, I'm ready to be makel over here. Well, remember, what are we talking about? In other words, it's Rishus HaYachid next to a Rishus HaYachid. The issue here is that I'm not allowed to transfer from one Rishus HaYachid to another without an Erev. We're talking Erev over here. Erev is a Din Derabanan. So am I ready to be makel by Din Derabanan? Of course I am. Because that's all we're talking about. Aval Sukkah D'Araisa Lo. But when you're talking about a Sukkah, that's a Mitzvah D'Araisa. I need walls. Actual. Right, this idea of good achis, of dropping walls, maybe not. Meaning by a din derabanan I'll be mekel. But by sukkah, which is a din daraisa, we're not going to be mekel, we're going to be machmer. So that is one way to separate the two cases and to say that Rav Yossi and Rav Yehuda do not align. And we could do this the other way as well. Rav Yossi Savala, Rav Yossi Savala, Rav Yehuda, Ad Kalo Kam, Rav Yossi Allah, Besukkah de Isra Asehu. And here, we can also go the other direction. We can argue the other direction. Look, the mitzvah of sukkah, it's true it's a mitzvah d'araisa, but it's a positive commandment. Now, it's funny. Usually, when we try to weigh mitzvahs against one another, generally speaking, we never weigh, meaning we really don't know schar mitzvahs. We don't really know the reward of mitzvahs, but at least it's indicative, one way to give us some indication of the severity of an isra, the severity of a mitzvah, is looking at the punishment. Okay, let's do it this way. If I don't stand a sukkah on sukkahs, okay, I'm liable to what? What's my punishment? What do I have to look forward to as a punishment? Answer? Nothing. Right. It's a bittul asay. It's I'm ignoring a positive commandment in the Torah. So with two exceptions, there's no punishment. Two exceptions are? Brit Milah and Karban Pesach. Right? Those are the two exceptions. But outside of that, though, there's not going to be punishments for the ignoring a positive commandment. Aval Shabbos, but here in Erevin, we're talking about Shabbos. De Isser Skila Hu, where Shabbos is an Isser Skila. Now it's funny, the Gemara. Right. The Gemara. It's an argument, meaning, and it's a difficult argument to hear in our context, because we're trying to make the argument, but here we're talking about Shabbos, and Shabbos is an Isser Skila. It's not exactly an Isser Skila over here. We're talking about carrying from one Chatzir to another Chatzir. Water that's in one Chatzir over to another Chatzir. That's carrying from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Yachid. That's not an Isser Skila. The Gemara over here in this argument just simply means, in the context of Shabbos, Shabbos in general is an Isser Skila, so when I apply the sensibility of what's a wall vis-a-vis the greater context of Shabbos, so over here we're going to be more machmir. Okay, that sounds like what the Gemara is trying to argue over here, even though in this particular instance we're really not talking about an Isser Skila. But either way, the Gemara's point is that Sukkah and walls for Chatzer may in fact be apples and oranges, right, depending on which way you want to argue, which one's the apple, which one's the orange, but it's apples and oranges, and I wouldn't necessarily align the sheet of Rav Yossi to the sheet of Rav Yehuda. So, Skila hu lo amar. The im tomar osa maisa shanasa b'tzipari api minasa. So what about the incident regarding tzipari? So, nasa lo api Rabbi Yossi, ela api Rabbi Yishmael b'Rav Yossi nasa. So the Gemara says, it was not done by the advice of Rav Yossi, but rather by the advice of Rabbi Shmuel, son of Rav Yossi. What are we talking about? The Gemara goes on to explain. So what happened is we forgot the Sefer Torah. Forgot it. So what do we do? So what do we do? No problem. We created walls, and now, so therefore, we enclosed an area. We created Rishus Yachid, and that's how we brought the Sefer Torah. What? Meaning, right, how many things are wrong with that picture? Right? We just made walls and we enclosed an area, and that's how we brought the Sefer Torah. So Vikarubo. And that's how we brought the Sefer Torah, and that's how we were able to read from the Sefer Torah on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, what's going on over here? So first of all, before we even ask the question, what's going on over here, let's ask a very easy question. What's going on over here? Meaning, what's even the case? Where was the Sefer Torah? Where was it brought from? Where was it brought to? What do the walls exactly allow? Meaning, let's just first, before we get aghast at what's going on, let's first figure out what's going on. So if you take a look at Rashi, v'lo yivir Sefer Torah lebeis ha-kneses, uvechatzer acheresu. Hava. So the Gemara Rashi points out that right now the Sefer Torah was in another chatzer. And so what we wanted to do is transport the Sefer Torah from one chatzer to another chatzer, and there was no air of connecting the two chatzer. So parsus adinim agabe amudim lios mechitza mafsekes eitz mechitza tzachatzer mibayis shahaya Sefer Torah munach bo ve'ad beis hakneses. And so basically now what we're going to do is we're going to create walls exclusive to the house where the Sefer Torah was currently residing, to the shul. So in other words, now the house and the shul are now going to become basically exclusively enclosed areas. Okay, mavui katan, basically I'm creating a mini alleyway. Okay, good. So in other words, so now at least we know what's going on over here. Basically, transportation of a Sefer Torah from a house to the shul through a chatzar that doesn't have an Eruv. The way we did that is by making basically a hallway using these sadinim to be able to transport from the house to the shul, and so therefore no Eruv issues, as I'm simply going from the house to the shul and there's nothing else enclosed in this area. The problem is, okay, good. So that's what we're talking about. The problem is that these walls were hanging walls. Mechitzas tluyas. Now, it's interesting. From the story, by the way, you don't get any hint of that in the Gemara, but it's clear just from the context of the Gemara that these walls are hanging walls. So the Gemara wants to know now how we're using hanging walls. So first of all, the Gemara says, v'karbo parsel lechatchila mishari. So first of all, you're allowed to make the walls. So the Gemara says, "V'akol modim shein osin ol arai b'Shabbos." So you're not allowed to make an ol arai in Shabbos, right? Mosif al ol arai, to add to a temporary tent. What do we say? We said it was a machlokus, but we also said it's mutter, right? As long as I have a tent and I want to add to a temporary tent, so that you're allowed to do. But to make an ol arai, so that you're not allowed to do. By the way, remember back in Shabbos, we had a machlokas, Rishonim, Rashi Tosfos. When we say the making or the adding of an ohel, are we talking about the horizontal portion? Are we talking about even the vertical portion? It sounds very clear from our Gemara over here that we're talking even about the vertical portion of the ohel. We're just talking about the walls right now. So going back to a machlokas, which is really probably is a long time ago, it sounds pretty clear from our Gemara that the prohibition of making an oil is not only for the roof, but even for the walls as well. So the Gemara says, so what they did is, no, they didn't make the walls. Walls were already made. They were there already. It was just a question of moving the walls. By the way, how are you allowed to move the walls in the chatzar if the chatzar doesn't have an eruv? The answer, I think, is simple. I think it's straightforward. Is that these walls were already in the chatzar. Remember, in a chatzar sheina ma'urav, you're not allowed to transfer from the house to the chatzar. From the chatzar to the house. But to move things around in the chatzar itself, that's allowed. That you're allowed to do.
Didn't they have a case where there's people lined up?
We could also make a wall of people. Right, that we discussed as well.
Right.
But even then, if I remember correctly, there were a lot of limitations on using people as walls. They can't know that they were being used as walls.
Right.
It was a one-shot deal. Okay. I'm a rabbi, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yechiel. I'm sorry. Okay. Good. Fantastic. Okay, so now we have delved into whether the sheet of Rav Yehuda, and here in Erevin, in the 8th Perek, this idea that when I have a wall running over the top, the wall comes down. I don't need extra walls inside the pit itself. Not Beis Hillel, not Beis Shammai. In other words, a wall running over the top will be sufficient in order for it to drop down. That is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda over here, is he in agreement with the position of Rav Yossi regarding Sukkah? And the Gemara says, nah, not necessarily. Rav Yossi by Sukkah, that could be that he's Mekel, but that's, you know, or Rav Yehuda over here, it could be that he's Mekel. And the Gemara gave arguments why I would be more apt to be Mekel over here, I'd be more apt to be Mekel over there. Ad kan, the discussion of the Gemara, Mechitza Tluya, are you allowed to use on Shabbos? Generally speaking, no. There's one Tana which we were just introduced to, the opinion of Rav Yishma, but Rav Yossi, who says that you're allowed to. Okay. Amar Rabba, Rav Yehuda, Rav Chananya ben Akave, Amar Davar Echad. The Gemara says, Rabba now is his attempt to align Shitas. Shita of Rav Yehuda, Shita Rav Chananya ben Akave. So Amar Echad, Rav Yehuda, Adam Aran. Sorry, Amar Davar Echad. Sorry. Pevav Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom. Rav Yehuda Hadamar, it's under Rav Yehuda, we know already. Again, wall going over the pit, the wall drops down into the pit. That sheet is Rav Yehuda. Now, what about Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya? Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya, Omer, Yezusha Sheish Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos. Now here, I beg of you, if you have pictures, look at the picture. If you don't have a picture, so then just listen, try to visualize. I'd even draw this on the board, but this requires a little bit of artistic talent, of which I was not endowed with. The if you take a look over here at the picture, I'm on picture number 298 on page 100 of the Good Picture Book. So picture 298 has basically a flat balcony, right? And the balcony goes right over water. And basically what I'd like to do is I'd like to just carve a small hole right in the middle of the balcony and draw water from the water below. Okay. The problem is that I can't transfer from the water, the body of water, onto the balcony. The balcony is a Rishus HaYachid, and the water below, what do you want to say? It's a Carmelis. Let's say that. Okay, so I can't transfer. So what do I need to do is I need to have Mechitzas going down, dropping down into the water. Now, again, we're on to the topic of Mechitza Tuliyah, dropping walls. But over here, however, in terms of the creation of the walls, we're going to be extremely creative. This is as creative as I think we're ever going to get in Erevin. I do not want to sound so extreme nor so dramatic, but I think it is. I think this is going to be as creative as we're going to get. Basically, now, as long as I have a balcony, now remember, the balcony is entirely flat. It's a horizontal plane. But as long as the balcony is 4 amos by 4 amos, and the wall carved inside is 4 tefachim by 4 tefachim, you're good. You will be allowed now to take a pail, drop it through the center hole, and go ahead and draw the water. How? By what means is that happening? So I'm going to do the following. I'll first read it in the Gemara, and then I will try to describe it. And again, if you have a picture, if you're looking at a picture, really helpful. So first I'm going to read in the Gemara. I'm on the very bottom of Peivav Amud Beis. Rabbi Chananya ben Akavya Amar Gezusha Sheish Ba Arba Amos Al Arba Amos Chokek Ba Dalid Al Dalid. So I just simply carve a hole of 4x4 Tfachim Omeh Malay, and I fill it up. I fill the water through that hole. Now, that's all we get out of the Gemara. Now the rest of it's going to be up to me and Rashi. So I'm not going to read the Rashi inside. I'm going to do this outside. And everything I'm getting is straight out of Rashi. Basically, what is happening is the following. Now, remember, the entire plank from end to end is 4 amos. Each am is 6 tefachim. So 4x4 amos means, in terms of tefachim, 24x24 tefachim. Okay. That's the entire area of this balcony. Now, if I cut out a hole right in the center, 4x4 tefachim, so that means now, from the hole in the center to each end is going to be 10 tefachim. Okay. Now, without doing this, here's how we're going to view it. This is going to be now we're basically theater of the mind. We're not actually doing this, but we're basically now going to view those beams that are running from the center hole all the way to the end as if they're going to take a 90-degree bend. So in other words, even though they're running horizontal, they're going to now bend perpendicular, 90-degree. It's going to happen over here. It's going to happen over here. It's going to happen on all 4 sides. A box now is created. The box that's now created is going to have mechitzas going 10 tefachim down right? It doesn't have to go into the water. Remember, mechitza tluya is acceptable as long as it's over a body of water. And now, basically, I have the walls dropping down, the bucket going through these walls, and so therefore, I'm now allowed to draw water. Essentially, for all this to happen, if you understood what I just said, and essentially for all this to happen, I need two halachic principles. One that we've been going over time and again, the principle of good achis, that walls, once the walls go down, they continue to go down, even though the wall itself has stopped. And there's a new halachic principle, which I do not believe we've ever seen so far in the Masechta. I think this is the first time usage of this principle, the principle of what's called kof, the bending of a wall from a horizontal into a vertical. Okay, so there are two halachic Moshe Mitzinai. This halachic principle of kof, I cannot think, which doesn't mean anything. But in other words, it's rare that the Gemara speaks about this principle of bending a wall here on Daf Pei Zion.
Don't we have a sukkah also that'd be good?
A bending of a wall? Yeah. Yeah. We have walls dropping. We have walls going up.
So dropping is bending also?
No. In other words, the wall itself is actually horizontal, and I need the wall to be vertical. So what we're going to do in our mind is basically take the horizontal wall and move it 90 degrees in our mind. Not an actual. Okay? I know those mechitzas are the 90 degree bent, meaning if you're looking, I don't know if you're looking at the pictures, but in other words, those walls aren't actually there. That's accomplished by the theoretical bend of the wall. Okay, so chokik bo dal dal mamale amale abay v'dem aloi ad kan lo kamer Rabbi Yehuda hasam el amar good achitz mechitzasa. Look, the Gemara says I wouldn't necessarily compare the two positions for a very simple reason. Rav Yehuda here by Erevin, with the wall running over the pit, so he only needs one halachic principle, the principle of good achis. Walls run up, walls run down. So all he's got to do is just simply have the wall drop into the pit. Good. So and I didn't even mean that by way of pun, but good. Good meaning. The wall goes down. Okay, good. You got it. Great. If not, it's fine. It's fine. El adam good achis mechitzas aval kof v'good lo. But now, what Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia is saying is kof, bend it, and then good, and then go down. That's a two-step process. And maybe Rabbi Yehuda does not subscribe to this two-step process. V'good lo. And maybe over there in that particular instance, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia was apt to be more makel, because over there that was specific case, specific to the Kinneret, the Yamashel Tveria, the ocean of Tveria, which as we know is the Kinneret. Hoviyeshla Ognayim v'ayaros. The Karfifos Mikifanosa. Because over there it's surrounded by an embankment. So there one can make the argument that it's already a more enclosed area, and so therefore we're more apt to be makel, and will allow two halachic principles to dominate. The principle first of kof, and then the principle of gudachas. Av abishar meimos, but other bodies of water, lo. Maybe we wouldn't say that. So once again, the Gemara, although trying to align the shita of Rav Yehuda to another Tana, Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia, the Gemara says not necessarily. Amar by the divrei Rabbi Chananya ben Akavia, ha'isas muchel kosel. So now basically, what we're going to do is basically more of this type of discussion, and basically now, over the next bit of Gemara, from here until the Mishnah, we're going to go over a number of other cases where we're going to be bending walls. Okay, so we are today the mentalist. Okay. Right, what's his name? What's the famous?
Uri
Geller. Yeah. So we're going to bend today. Bend with our mind. All right, it's unbelievable. We're real mentalists today. So we're going to give other examples of this ability of bending walls. And so Amar Abai, so we're going to do more with this idea. So Amar Abai Haisa Smuchel Kosel. So now let's say again. Everything starts with a flat beam, And now with our mind, we're going to bend the wall. So here I have the beam now again. I'm looking at a picture and it's really helpful. The wall over here is next. The horizontal wall is obviously a balcony, flush against the wall. But over here it's not absolutely flush. It's within three tefachim of the wall. And the wall goes out, extends out, let's say 11 tefachim and change. I'm going to first describe and then I'm going to read inside the Gemara. And then it goes, in terms of from end to end, in terms of width, 24 tefachim. So here, once again, with our mind, we're going to bend. But over here, we're going to throw out a lot of principles in order to create a wall. Essentially now, so what's going to happen is that, do you see, again, I'm looking at a picture, so it makes my life a lot easier. So again, the wall is within three tefachim, so that's called lavud. So it's as if it's connected. Plus another tefach. Immediately after that tefach, now what we're going to do is we're going to take that center slab and bend it down. How far down is it going to go? Well, it's going to go down 10 tefachim. Because remember, the slab itself was 11 tefachim. 11 tefachim plus a little bit, a little change. I'm going to bend down that center slab so that that center slab comes down. I have the wall of the building. Okay? So what I've now done is I've created two walls dropping down. By the way, it's right. This last trick is going to be a little bit. I'm also going to bend down. There's a lot going on here. I'm also going to bend down a little bit more of that center slab, so that not only do I have one wall dropping and facing the wall of the building, but I also have little edges, perpendicular edges along. So that basically now I've created a funnel, not a funnel, but basically a flume going, dropping right down into the water in order to allow me to get the water. Again, another bending of the walls according, using the principle of Rav Chanan ben Akavya. I guess the chiddush over here is not only are we bending walls, but also using the principle of lavud as well. In other words, how many mechitza concepts can we throw into one case? Is essentially what we're trying to accomplish over here. I'm Rabbi, I'm going to read this inside the Gemara, second wide line down. And Daf Pezayin Amar Alf, Ludivrei Bechanayim Ben Akavya. Ha'isas, Mucha Lekos Bachos Migimot Tfachim. Tzarech Shehe Urka Dal Amos, so it's got to be four Amos wide. Again, just a fancy way of saying 24 Tfachim wide. V'rochva Acharasar Mashu, 11 Tfachim from end to end, but not the width. I'm talking about from the wall to the other end. Ha'isas, Zekufa Tzarech Shehe Gavoa, I'm sorry. Good. So that is one case. Now let's go over another case. Here, in our next case, we're going to bend a wall, but not a horizontal wall. Up until now, we've been bending horizontal walls. Now we're going to be bending vertical walls. Why do I need to bend vertical walls? Because right now, the vertical wall is only one wall. The wall of the building is only a second wall. Again, we need to create an enclosed area to drop the bucket through the enclosed area. So what I'm going to do now is basically, again, with my mind, mentalist over here, I'm going to bend the ends of the wall in order to create the chute, so that I'm now surrounded by all four sides. So again, I'm looking at picture 302 in the good book. So picture 302, I'm going to have the wall from end to end. Well, let's see in the Gemara, Heisa Zekufa Tzarech Shei Gavoa Asar Tzvachim. So it's got to be, first of all, it's got to be 10 Tzvachim high. Yeah, because every wall has got to be 10 tefachim high. V'rochva vav tefachim u'shnei mashuhuyin. And in terms of the width of this vertical wall, it's got to be 6 2 changes. So now basically what's going to happen is that I'm bending one tefach on one side, a tefach and change on one side, a tefach and change on the other side, leaving me now 4 tefach of wall, one going in, one going in. It's within 3 tefachim of the building itself. And so now I have a chute that is 10 tefachim down, 10 tefachim on the sides as well, and 4 tefachim from the wall of the building to the wall, to the vertical wall, and good. Amar Rav Huna. One more of these. Why not? Really get your money's worth today. Amar Rav Huna Bered Rav Yeshua Haisa Amenes Bekeren Zavis. Let's now have this wall up against a corner. So in other words, I already have the building creating the L, So I have two walls created by the perpendicular building, the corner of the building, and now again, what I wanted to be able to do is drop a bucket down, but right now I only have two walls, and I would like to create four walls. So what I'm going to do is the following. So I'm going to do this with a vertical wall. A vertical wall that is, of course, 10 tfachim. V'rochva best tfachayim v'shnei ma'ashuhiyen. Now, in terms of how much actual wall is there, it's really not a lot. The wall itself is only 2 tefach and 2 little extras. And what's going to happen, again, pictures over here are extremely helpful. What's going to now happen is, I am now, turned the page on page 102 of the picture book, picture number 304. I'm bending the wall. I'm making a bracket out of the wall, a perpendicular bracket of the wall. And again, we're not actually bending. All this is relying on the position of Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya. We are mentally bending the wall into an L, into a 90-degree angle. Each one is within 3 tefachim of the actual building itself. And now I've created a chute using both the principle of kof and using 2 lavuts, each one extending into the wall to create now the chute in, that I can send my bucket down. So, in addition to the classic case of Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, we also now have given 3 other cases in the Gemara where, according to Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, I can bend walls. So far, so good. We're almost done. I mean, with this section. I'm Rav Nebuchadnezzar. I saw most of the kinds of stuff. She ego vayot tefachim v'rocha. Okay, v'shemash ve'ela had the tanya Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya Amar gezusha sheish ba dal amos al dal amos cholkek ba dal al dal mamale hechem ishkachalam. So the Gemara says, okay. So now with all this bending that we're doing, and my question over here is a really simple question. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya, when do you need such a complex scenario? Right, which to begin with is the funniest question out there. When do you need a complex scenario? Meaning all these other cases are so easy? Yeah, and relatively speaking, yes. Because we had already the building serving as one of the walls. Rabbi Chanan ben Akavya basically had us bending all 4 sides. When do I ever need to bend all 4 sides? Gemara gives a really simple answer. David Kiyasisa. So the Gemara says, yeah, where this little platform, it's like an oil rig. It's in the middle of the water. In other words, it's not proximate to any wall. So now I need to bend all 4 sides in order to create that chute going down. Okay, simple, straightforward. I'm joking, it's not simple, it's not straightforward. But it's, you know, once you see the pictures though, and once you understand these 2 principles, really all of it makes sense. It's perfectly logical. Yeah, so that is a relatively good question. After spending now 20 minutes of DAF and, you know, getting us through these cases, I don't think so. I don't think any of this is brought down la halacha. I mentioned this before when we started off this. I don't know, and again, I'm not, my knowledge is not encyclopedic, but I don't know another place where the Gemara employs this principle of kof. So, you know, I have Stu here in the room, so if he can't also cite, I feel comfortable, meaning, you know, he knows this better than I do. So, but I don't know. Often I do not know another place where we have this principle of kof. Okay, we start, huh?
Google it.
Yeah, we'll Google it. Where else in Shas, outside of Pei Zion, well, actually, Pei Vav, Pei Zion, do we have this principle of kof? Okay, we are on the Mishnah on Pei Zion, Amad Aleph, Amas Mayim. Okay, really simple question, really straightforward question that we're going to dealing with in the following. I have a chatzir. Okay, it's really straightforward chatzir. It's a courtyard. There are 4 walls around the courtyards. There are houses in the courtyards. And I have a canal running right through the courtyard. Okay. I remember in my youth, we went to visit Yericho. I don't know. Nowadays, it's not recommended. I wouldn't recommend it. But was there? There's a casino in Yericho. No one said yes. So the no one needs to indict themselves. But anyway, I remember as a kid going through Yericho, they have canals running through every street in Yericho. Again, this is a childhood memory of mine. But in other words,
go to Venice.
I'm sorry, we'll travel over here. Or you can go to Venice. Okay. Anyway, but there, in other words, it's not uncommon to have canals running right through the middle of the chatzer. And think about it, the utility, the use of a canal running through a chatzer would be very helpful. I have a body of water, so now, right, I could drop something into the canal, I could take water from the canal. It's very helpful to have a canal running through. The question over here is really such a straightforward, simple question. Can I use the canal running through? What is the status of the canal that runs through? Now, the fact that the water actually is running through, so that means that the water here is not the same water as it was, let's say, 5 minutes ago, that the body of water is a constant motion, that may not be so critical in this whole discussion, interestingly enough. So let's see the Mishnah. We're on the Mishnah on page 9, Amar Alf, Amas Mayim, Shiyo, Veretz, Bechatzer, Eim, Amal, and Hemen, Abishabas. I cannot draw water from this body, from this canal. Elim Ken, also lo mechitza, gavol yutfachim beknisa, uvi yitzia. I need to make walls at the two ends of the canal. Meaning the canal is running right through the Chatzer. So that means I already have walls over the canal. But remember, Rav Yehuda Shita was, that's fine. But that's Rav Yehuda Shita. But if you don't hold like Rav Yehuda, I need actual mechitzas. Now, the mechitzas, by the way, I dare say, and it's pretty clear from the pictures as well, the mechitzas aren't going to stop the water, because then you kind of lose the purpose of the canal. In other words, but the mechitzas basically are going to be serving as partitions in terms of creating now division between one side of the canal and another side of the canal.
Does it matter also the size of the canal, no?
Right now, it doesn't seem like that's gonna be of consequence. Rav Yehuda Omer Kosto Shagaba Tidon Misha Mechitza, and Rav Yehuda, consistent to the previous Mishnah, says the same thing over here in our Mishnah as well. Meaning, why do I need to make walls in the canal? No, that's not necessary. I have walls running over the canal. Remember, Rav Yehuda says this principle of good achis, that the walls drop down. Here too, the walls are going to drop down. I'm Rav Yehuda Maisa Ba Mishal Alvel Shimamal Mimeno Alpi Zekein and Bishabis. There was a canal in the city by the name of Alvel. Okay, odd name for a city, but that's the name of the city. So, and what happened was, is that we were allowed to draw water from such a canal. Amar Lo Mibnei Shelo Hayaba Kishir. So they say to Rav Yehuda, you misunderstood. It's not because the walls running over the top are dropping down, that's not it, but rather, there isn't a shear. Okay? Right, it's a small canal. Not exactly clear. Right, it's not exactly clear what is meant by that line of Ein La Kishir, but obviously it means something as a result of that, that's why it doesn't need walls separating. Generally speaking, however, it would need walls to separate. Tan Rabbanan Asul La Bechnisa V'la Asul La Biyitziya Asul La Biyitziya V'la Asul La Bechnisa Eim Memal Eim Mem B'Shabbos Alem Kin Asul La Mechitzi Yutfachim Biyitziya Uvechnisa. The Brice over here, supporting obviously the position of the Tanakama, says that I need to make partitions for the walls of the canal and on both ends, both at the entrance and at the exit. Making one is insufficient, I got to make both. Rav Yehuda Amar Kosto Shagabati Da Mishu Mechitza. And then the Braisa repeats. I mean, it's a Braisa, so it's not, you know, it's self-standing. But the Braisa then tells us again the position of Rav Yehuda, which is, walls running over the top, that's enough. Am Rav Yehuda Maisa Ba Mahamayin Shai Sabah Me Avel Tzipori. There was a body of water that came from Avel Tzipori. Vayim Emalim Emen Abishabas Apia Zekeinim. And the Zekeinim said, not a problem. You want to draw water from the canal? That's fine. Amalam Mishamayim Emneshul Haisa Amuka Yutfachim Verochva Dalid. Oh, you know why you're allowed to draw water from over there? Because it was not an independent Rishus. Now we get more information. Meaning from the Mishnah, all we got was Ein La Kishir. That's all we saw in the Mishnah. But now in the Baisa, at least now we're given more information that Ein La Kishir means the canal is not its own separate Rishus. In order for anything to be its own separate rishus, it needs minimum dimensions. Minimum dimensions, we've been saying time and again, 10 tfachim deep, 4 tfachim wide. This canal running from Avil to Tzipori, not those minimum dimensions, not its own separate rishus. Good. That's why I didn't need mechitzas both at the beginning and at the end. But if the canal is 10 tfachim deep and 4 tfachim wide, so then you need walls at the beginning and at the end. That would be the Chachamim's retort to Rabbi Yehuda. Tanya Reb Chilonta, another Braisa, Amas Amayim Overes Bein HaChalonos. if I have the a canal running between two windows, if you would like to get a visual depiction of what we're talking about over here, so you could look on page 103, picture number 307. Okay, it's the top picture on the page. So I have now a canal running between the windows. Pachus mi gimel mishal shodli umemale. Gimel in mishal shodli umemale. So if it's less than three, if what is less than three, not clear right now. But if it's less than three, so then I could drop the bucket in order to fill it up. But if it's not, so then I cannot drop the bucket in and fill it up. Rishim gamel omer. Pachus mi dal mishal shodli umemale. Dalid ein mishal shel dili mamale, and Rishon Gamliel says that the magic number is not three, but rather four. Already we know, we already have an insight, even though we're not exactly sure what we mean when we say three or not three, four not four, but we know we're talking about Lavad. Right, that we know because we've seen already a number of times in the Masechta, a machlok is between the Tanakhama and Rishon Gamliel, what exactly is the shear of Lavad? Tanakhama says three, Rishon Gamliel says four, the halachically accepted position is three. So in other words, at least we now know we're talking about Lavud, but we're still not 100% clear. What are we talking about? When we're throwing out these numbers three, what are we talking about? We're talking about the actual canal itself. That a carmelis is not less than four. Meaning, what's the issue? The issue is an independent domain, right? Which is a carmelis. The Gemara says, and now you want to tell me the whole issue of independent domain of Carmelis, that's a machlokis? So lema ketanai amrle shmaitei. Allah, so the Gemara says, no, that can't be. It simply cannot be. We don't have a debate in terms of what the actual area of a Carmelis is. Everyone agrees that in order for an area to be considered a Carmelis, it has to be minimum area of 4x4 tzvachim. So that's not what we're talking about. Ella be'agpei. Ulahachlif. So the Gemara says that when we're talking about less than three, not less than three, we're talking about the embankment going down into the canal itself. And can I drop a bucket from my window to the embankment? From the embankment down into the water. The Haki also Rav Dimi Amar Rav Yochanan Makom Shein Bar Abal Arba Motel of Nevirshus Yachid Uf Nevirshus Rav Lekatef Alava Vavashal Lo Yachlifu. So the Gemara says, wait a second. We've known this for a long time. Beginning of Shabbos, we learned this, and we've said this over again and again. I have a Makom Pater. Okay, I can transfer from Rishus Yachim to Makom Pater. I can transfer from Rishus Rabim to Makom Pater. What I cannot do is basically through subterfuge go from Rishus Yachid to the Makom Pater, then from the Makom Pater to the Rishus Rabim. Even though technically I did nothing wrong, but the clear understanding is that the next time I do this, I will not use the Makom Pater as my go-between. So the Gemara says, so what are you talking about over here that I can let my bucket hang on the ledge, as long as the ledge is not three tefachim, not a problem, go from the window to the embankment of the canal, and then go from there into the canal. How are you allowed to do that? Even if it's a makom pater, so what? So the Gemara says, "Hasam Rishuyos Daraisa, Hacha Rishuyos Derabanan." The Gemara says, you know, there's a big difference. What one cannot do through the medium of a makom pater is go from Rishus Yachid to Rishus Rabban, because for obvious reason. Because the next time I'm going to do it without the Makom Pater, and I'll be violating an Issur D'oraisa. Here, I'm drawing water from the canal. What's the worst case scenario? What's the canal? The canal's a Carmelis.
And you're on the Rishus HaYachid.
Right, and I'm in a Rishus HaYachid. So in other words, worst case scenario, I'm transferring from Rishus HaYachid to a Carmelis. Now, granted, by the way, you're not allowed to do that. That's an Issur D'Rabbanan. But the starting point of the discussion is in Issur D'Rabbanan. So now if I want to go through a Makom Pater, in order to go from Rishus Yachid to a Makom Pater, which is Mutter, from a Makom Pater to a Karmus, which is Mutter, and to use that Makom Pater now as a medium, as a go-between, that's fine. That the Gemara says is fine. Rav Yochanan Rishus D'Rabbanan Nami Amar. So the Gemara says, yeah, but hold on one second. We had a case very similar to this, where basically a makom pater was a go-between between two Rishus HaYachids. This goes back to not that long ago. The Ayin, Zayin Vav. Kosel Shebein Beitz Chatzeros Gavol Yudfachim Verochav Arba Meravim Shnaim Vein Marvin Echad Hayu Barosho Peres Eilo Olam Mikan Veochlin Eilo Olam Mikan Veochlin Nifratze Kosel Adas Amas Marvin Shnaim Vein Marasa Marvin Echad Mimneshi Kepesach Yosem Mikan Marvin Echad Vein Marvin Shnaim. Okay, that was all the Mishnah. The part of the Mishnah that we want to focus on is the top of the wall. Remember what we said time and again, the top of the wall is kind of like Switzerland. Meaning it's neutral territory. It's its own separate entity. It's not owned by one chatzir, neither is it owned by the other chatzir. That means then that neither chatzir can take anything and transfer from the chatzir to the top of the wall, because the top of the wall is its own separate rishos. And that's if the top of the wall is four tfachim wide. But let me ask you a simple question. V'avinam ba'ein ba'ar ba'amai. What if the top of the wall is not four tfachim wide? So Amarav Avir Beis Rishui Shalatas Bo. V'lo Yazis Bo Malei Nima. And what do we say? We said nothing. Meaning the top of the wall is a makom pater, and therefore nothing. Rav Yochanan Amar Eilo Malei Mikan V'Ochlin Ve'Eilo Malei Mikan V'Ochlin. And Rav Yochanan says, no, both of them can go up and transfer. V'Az Rav Yochanan Tami Dechiyas Rav Dima Amar Rav Yochanan Makom Shein Bar Arba L'Arba. Mutal of Nevi Rishas Rabim of Nevi Rishas Yech L'Katef Olav. Uvavashalo Yachalifu. And Rav Yochanan says that you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to use a makom pater as the go-between between the two, provided that you're not machlif, provided that you do not, as long as that does not turn into the medium to be able to transfer from one to the other. So the Gemara says, "Ahi's the Ziiri Amra." The Gemara says, okay, but that wasn't really Rav Yochanan, that was really Ziiri. Or the Ziiri Kasha. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So what about Ziiri? So Ziiri, Mokum Laba Amas Amayim, the Gufa. So the Gemara says, what Ziiri will tell you is that, yeah, the Amas Amayim, well, in other words, what he does not allow you to do is to transfer from the window to the actual Amas Amayim itself. But to use a Makom Pater as a go-between, Ziri would say that's not a problem. That would be totally fine. Okay, let's finish up to the Mishnah. Rav Dimi Tanahi. So the Gemara says, and now what about Rav Dimi? Whether or not a karmelist can be less than four tfachim. So Rav Dimi says that's in fact a machlokis tanaim. Even though the Gemara earlier made the statement, no one's going to argue about what the area of a domain is. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Dimi, no, actually that is subject to a machlokis. V'tahaviki chori karmelist. So the Gemara says, okay, but look, I have a canal running through our chatzer. Obviously the canal started somewhere. Let's assume it started by a lake. Okay. And so now, basically, here's my question. If the canal started in a lake, and now it runs into a narrow canal, can we make the argument that even though right now the width of the canal is less than four tvachim, or less than three tvachim, however narrow you want to make it, but isn't it an extension of a lake? And shouldn't we make the argument now that as much as a lake is a karmelis, that's undeniable, the canal that runs out of the lake also should have the status of the karmelis, regardless of how narrow it is. So Abai bar Avin, Ravi Chanina bar Avin, Dami Tavai, Ein Chorin leKarmelis. So the Gemara's answer is a pretty simple answer. No. Meaning, we have ideas that we mentioned earlier in the Masechta, and this goes all the way back to the beginning of Shabbos. Chori Rishos HaYachid we talked about. We even talked about Chori Rishos HaRabim. But no. And in other words, karmelis to begin with is an Issur DeRabbanan. And now to have an extension of the karmelis, that's already too much. Ravashi Amar Afilo Temi Yesh Chorin leKarmelis. Ravashi says, no, that's not. You could make the suggestion that there is Chorin for karmelis. Hanimila b'smucha hacha b'muflages. That's if it's close to the karmelis. But over here, it's so far away from the karmelis, so therefore, this cannot be viewed as a Chor anymore. As an extension of the karmelis. And finally, Ravina Amar Kigon Da'avile Nifke Apume Va'az Rabban Latame Rabbi Shimon Gamal Latame. So the Gemara says, or another way to obviate the issue of Chori karmelis is that as the canal is running into your chatzer, there's basically a collar placed on the entrance of the canal so that the water passes through a very narrow area. In fact, if you look at Rashi, and you can take a look at the picture over here, picture 309, it basically, what's it called? It channels the water. It constricts the water to an area of less than 3 tefachim. So therefore, that canal that runs into the chatzer is no longer considered an extension of the Carmelis. It basically serves as a mechitz, as a partition, and so therefore the canal no longer is viewed as an extension of the Carmelis. Okay, I know I went through that quickly. I'm aware. Okay, that is for the most part Daf Pei Zayin. So again, our big discussions today, we finished up the discussion of a pit between two chatzeros. What can serve as a mechitza? Rav Yehuda says the wall's running over the top. Beisel, Beit Shammai, each to their respective degree, has to have a wall in the pit itself. Debated in terms of what exactly that means, a wall in the pit. Rav Yehuda says the wall running over the top actually drops down, and that led to a lengthy discussion of the Gemara of Gur Achis. And then we introduced ourselves to the opinion of Rabbi Hanan ben Akavia, not only subscribed to the idea of Gur Achis, but even Kof the Gur Achis, bending walls and then dropping the walls down, which, as we suggested, it may be too big a chiddush. We don't say that. And then we talked about a canal running through the chatzer. Canal running through the chatzer. Can I draw water from the canal? Answer is not unless I make a mechitza on each side, basically creating now that canal as space of the chatzer. Otherwise, I cannot. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says the walls run over, also drop down as well. That Rav Yehuda of this Mishnah is consistent with the Rav Yehuda of the previous Mishnah. And then we had a lengthy discussion in the Gemara. What about the canal having the status of the Carmelis, or at least being an extension of the Carmelis, and basically responding to why isn't the canal have the status of, if not Carmelis, at least Chori Carmelis, an extension of a Carmelis? And the Gemara provided a number of answers of why it's not Chori Carmelis. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up. We're on the Mishnah. One more day tomorrow. Bring your picture book. If you did not bring it today, if you have it, bring it tomorrow. It would be very helpful.